I'm pleased to talk again with Mike Smith. Now, Mike's been with us regularly as we shake our heads in disbelief at what is going on here regarding his court case. He's the plaintiff in the landmark Smith v. Vonterra case, and legislation preventing these lawsuits against companies for climate change under tort law has just passed its first reading in Parliament. And that's why the focus here with Mike is so important. Mike, you've described today as a dark day for democracy and accused the government of putting major polluters beyond accountability. What specifically has changed, and why do you believe it fundamentally undermines our country's access to justice? Kore rō mai, e te tukana.
Summed it up really well then. That's what happened yesterday, and the bill was introduced into the House. But it sparked off some really great contributions from the opposition parties. The Labor Party spokesman spoke really well, and she said that the Labor government would repeal this law, they'd strike it out as soon as they got into power, as did the Māori Party, as did the Greens. And so the opposition parties spoke really well about their intentions. So I guess if the legal strategy is not now available to us, well, that particular one, well, now we switch, we now pivot to the political strategy, which is to get the court case reinstated by changing the government. And so we're in the lead up to the election now. So there's a whole lot of things that we can do, and I'm going to make a public call to action over the next couple of months, to ask people to make their voices heard, to make formal submissions, because the select committee will be open for consultation over the next couple of days, and it'll run for probably till the end of the month, so people can share their own opposition and their stories. We're asking people to mobilise their communities by talking to whānau, friends and neighbours, and to get the young people signed up on the electoral roll. And as whānau or groups or organisations, work on a plan to mobilise during the election, because there's about 1 million missing voters, and many of them are Māori. And if everybody stepped up to the polling booth this election, I think we'd see this government change. The indicators are already, the polls already are telling us that there's a shift away from this coalition government, and we need to do that. So we're also going to be stomping around the motu, public meetings and town halls and hearings and such. So if you hear one coming to a place near you, and you can find out about all this good stuff on our Instagram page, Smith versus Vonterra, and the equivalent Facebook page, which is Smith versus Vonterra. So yes, if we're getting thrown out of the law courts, we now make our appeals to the court of public opinion, and that's all of us.
Kia ora. Now, tort is a term that we don't use in Civvy Street very much, but it is involved in this situation. And I've Googled it because I was interested. And a tort is a civil wrong other than a breach of contract that causes someone to suffer a loss or harm resulting in legal liability for the person who committed the act. But the primary purpose is to compensate victims for the injuries rather than to punish the wrongdoer. Tort, it's wound into this situation. Mike, you say the fight's never been about one court case or one individual, but more about the right of ordinary New Zealanders seeking justice. Obviously, we're constrained somewhat because of our political process, and even though we might object to how this law has been rammed through with its first reading, the pace with which the legislation has been drafted to oppose the potential for a challenge of this type, again, we're sort of forced to work under a political system not of our making. You've argued too that corporate lobbying's played a significant role in the outcome here. What evidence leads you to believe major emitters influenced this government decision, and what does that say about the relationship between business interests and public policy?
Yeah, well, the evidence that we've got, Dale, is that has been actually supplied to us by the companies like Z Energy, by Vonterra, which are two of the companies that we've been wanting to take to court, and they gave to us as part of the disclosure process the memos or the letters that they wrote to the government and that were hand delivered to the Prime Minister's office. So, and which subsequently the Prime Minister denied any knowledge of their existence, and there was no record. And that's against the rules. It's against the law, actually, that the government's meant to document all this kind of stuff, and in the interest of transparency, so everybody can know what they're up to. But the mere fact that they hid these things and they lied about it, you know, gives us an indication of that there's something not to write in the relationship between government and big business interests. But apart from those issues, putting those to one side for a moment, the big issue at hand is what's the climate crisis that's unfolding in front of us and just how that's going to impact upon us here in Aotearoa. If we look to Europe at the moment, there's the heat records are getting broken. There's been over 1,000 people died in the last 2 weeks in France just from heat stress. There's wildfires springing up. There's just no end of climate emergencies happening across the world, and that's the canary in the coal mine. We can look to their summer, and it gives us an indication of what we're likely to face this coming summer, and what that is the El Nino event, which is going to mean unprecedented droughts and water shortages, wildfires, and the meteorologists are telling us quite clearly that we better start preparing for that now. And ironically, this is going to hit the farmers, you know, the Fonterra's customers, just as hard, if not harder, than anybody else, because the farms are going to burn. The grass is all going to burn off. There's not going to be any feed. And what we'll see in the coming months as the summer starts to arrive is a massive disruption to the very farming communities that Fonterra is attempting to protect. The irony is just out the gate, because they should be doing everything that they can to minimise the impacts of the climate crisis, just for their own sakes, let alone being responsible for the rest of us. And they're going to suffer from these things horrendously. But I don't want to be in a situation of saying, well, I told you so in 12 months' time. We need to get ahead of this stuff. We need to be taking actions now in order to make lessen the risk to us all, and to really prepare for what's coming, because it's these cyclones that we're seeing, these extreme weather events, are just the tip of the iceberg, and it's just going to keep accelerating and getting more serious, and the speed in which these things are happening is the frightening thing. You know, it's not just one event a year. We've had 9 events so far this year that have been catastrophic floods and weather events, and you know, people have died, and it really is a crisis. So I don't want to sort of sound fear mongering, but honestly, this is what is happening, and we can't just turn our faces away from it and pretend it's not happening. We've got to face the reality of it, and we need the government to step up and start being responsible.
Yeah, but it's damn frustrating too. What's your thinking about MMP? I mean, it has its advantages, but it does have disadvantages. This cobbled together coalition and their agreement, as I've touched on before, believe it supersedes everything that has gone before it. So they've cobbled this governing coalition together, but they've been ramming through legislation. They can be climate deniers of the highest order. They can fast-track extractive industries, but their conservatism and loyalists to the past mean that they also turn their back on the realities that you are pointing to of climate change. Is MMP working against Papatūānuku here, do you think?
Well, it certainly has opened the door for minority parties like the ACT Party, which only has, I believe, about 6% support of the New Zealand population, so that's hardly democratic. But it's opened the door for these coalitions that give them far more influence and exposure than they really deserve to have as part of the coalition government. So in that sense, it's not doing us any favours. But if you look at the left bloc, if we want to call it that, the alternative opposition parties, it also provides an opportunity for parties like the smaller parties, like the Māori Party, like the Greens and others, to have a say and have a voice in Parliament. So it cuts both ways. But I guess the problem is, the fundamental problem is that we've got this great battle going on between conservatism, as you said, Dale, you know, and what they call the right wing, which is essentially, I reckon, it's the selfish and the greedy. And one of your great colleagues on Radio Aotearoa and Wātea, Sid Jackson, used to call the ACT Party, and being an acronym for arseholes coming together, he used to call them. But anyway, it's this right, really conservative, selfish and greedy interest groups within society that only care about their profit above anything. And then you've got the left wing, which are more orientated towards, you know, providing good housing, taking care of the most vulnerable, making sure everybody's got a reasonable income and some houses, that there's social justice, like, you know, rights for wahine, rights for Māori, and they're more interested in the social outcomes of our society. And you've got these two players battling against each other, and it's really unfortunate. So, I mean, I side with the... I side with the people, I guess, at the end of the day. I think businesses can stand and fall on their activities, and if it's not environmentally safe, well then let the market sort of let them fall. But we've got to stand beside our people as having the highest priority, and at the moment we're not seeing that, Dale.
Tēnā koe. We'll follow the case closely, as we should. If you'd like to understand more clearly what is going on there, you can look at Smith v. Vonterra. That case, as mentioned, Mike said it's on Facebook. Just to stay in touch with what is happening and the speed with which wedges are being driven to deny individuals the right to take serious and long-term emitters to task for their actions. Mike Smith with us today. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks for having us on again, Dara.
Yeah, thanks very much.